Join us for the Criterion Institute podcast as Joy Anderson, a global thought leader in business and social change, leads us through a series of discussions, interviews, frameworks, rants, and reframes that will help you better understand how to use finance as a tool for transformative systems change.
I am Joy Anderson, and this is the Criterion Institute podcast. This episode focuses on strategy development around our work on gender-based violence. Since 2017, Criterion has been working to prove that you can finance the reduction of gender-based violence, not as some silver bullet solution, but as a complement to the work that governments and civil society are doing to reduce gender-based violence. This episode is also timed with our announcement that our Convergence, our Criterion's core conference, this coming February 2026, will focus on our work on gender-based violence. We've done two previous convergences focusing on this topic, and we thought it was a perfect time to bring the field together, show the progress that's been made, highlight people who are taking action, invite others to take action, and build a broader set of connections that can advance this work. Enjoy.
Criterion Institute runs multiple trainings a year, online and free of charge, in multiple time zones. These include our systems change training, workshop on financing the reduction of gender-based violence, and the toolkit workshop on using finance as a tool for social change, which has now been attended by thousands of investors, governments, and social change leaders worldwide. Find out more and register at criterioninstitute.org/events.
Our work to prove that you can finance the reduction of gender-based violence is grounded in a discovery that we had in 2017. I was on the board of In Faith Foundation, and we were looking to create a carve-out of $20 million that would focus in on one social change issue. And as the executive director went out to find out what people cared about, and these were not the ultra-wealthy or the sort of sophisticated foundations. These were people who had put money into a donor-advised fund. And what they said they wanted to address was domestic violence. So we started with building out that fund, the first demonstration now 8 years ago that you can invest to address gender-based violence. The next thing that happened was that we had this audacious idea that we would aggregate $1 trillion of intent, of capital held by individuals or institutions who said, I hope that my investments can address gender-based violence. And so we named this $1 trillion goal. And while executing on that campaign was difficult, getting people to sign on was not. Between pension funds and foundations and large asset managers, they said, wow, do you think we could? Could we do something that would make a difference to address gender-based violence? Do you think we could? And so we aggregated $1 trillion within a year or so. And that proof that asset owners, people who control capital, are willing to do things, it's sort of been the basis of gender lens investing, of impact investing, of innovative finance more broadly, that there are a set of people who control capital who would like to be able to do more with it. And when we started having conversations with asset owners, we uncovered survivors. We uncovered
fathers passionate about their daughters. We had uncovered, well, we had also uncovered a bunch of idiots who said dumb things to us, and it wasn't all a bed of roses. But what was inspiring is people who said, I want to do more with my capital. And so all the way through this campaign, leading into our strategy today, is that one assumption, which is that there are people who would like to use their capital to address gender-based violence. We have continued to find that over and over again. Is there more that we need to mobilize it? You betcha. Is there more that we need to show evidence that says that we can make this difference, that motivates people to take action? But one of the big forces behind this, for example, is that many governments, in passing their gender policies, include a specific focus on gender-based violence. And that can be a lever to say, what are you doing in your innovative finance programming to make a difference? There are foundations for whom gender-based violence has been a central tenet of their work. We can ask them to use their assets. This systems change starts and ends with not just Criterion using our power, but us engaging others who are using their power in powerful ways. So where we started after we had aggregated this $1 trillion of intent was they said, okay, we want to do this. What can we go do? And so a lot of the work that we've done over the last 7-8 years is to build that base of possibilities, to show beyond a shadow of a doubt that across asset classes, across geographies, in private equity funds and in corporate bonds and in trade finance and among fund managers working with startups, there are approaches. There are even approaches in managing a large public equity portfolio where we can see the long-term risks, the costs of inaction on gender-based violence, both in a public equity portfolio or in a DFI rebuilding the infrastructure of a country post-conflict or disaster. These critical settings where gender-based violence isn't a add-on, isn't just an also-ran issue. It is one of the fundamental struggles that sit in the middle of our society. Its centrality, the gender norms that support it, the tolerance that allows us to say that it is okay as society not to push, not to challenge, that acceptance has a cost to our well-being over time. And investors need to see that cost and celebrate the places where there's resistance, where people are saying, no, it is not okay that agricultural workers are the highest incidence of gender-based violence. That is built into our food systems. That's not okay. So where are we now? We've started over the last 7 years to build out this base of evidence. And with that, a set of tools that support exploring these different ideas. We've written roadmaps. We've done a ton of training. We've put together resources that let people explore this issue. And we think we're at a turning point right now, which is not just to explore, not just to invite, but to really mobilize towards action, to organize, to build momentum, to push through. Now, that might be a hard thing to say in the face of what's going on in the world today. At the same time, these are the exact things that we need to keep pushing through, even if they're hard. So our plan moving forward, first of all, continues to build on the evidence base. What are the things that people can do and are doing to address gender-based violence through their investments, to be able to see how systems of finance, whether that's public equities or private debt, how making investments can make a difference on gender-based violence. So we're going to continue to do that design work, whether it's a part of a broad demonstration with a foundation that's looking to build a new investment fund, whether that's exploring a bond offering and that a fund manager is playing with the idea for, or just supporting development finance institutions who continue to do great work in this area. So we'll continue to do that design work and accompany people in the middle of demonstrations because we need that base. But what we need to start doing is not just doing the design work, not just building out the stories, but then we need to tell these stories, not just to ourselves, not just to a small group of people, but we need to amplify this possibility. Frankly, I think we need to amplify it because the world needs hope and they need to see that people are willing to take action on these issues, that people are willing to stand in the face of resistance and say it is structurally, philosophically, morally, economically wrong that we allow gender-based violence to continue to happen in our world and that we have made so little progress. We need to use the power of finance to add to that voice and push it forward because we know there are things that finance can do, whether that's shifting banking practices, like the National Australian Bank has done. There's so many stories that are out there already about what people have done in safeguarding, what people have done, what Adesina did in their stunning campaign about forced arbitration. There has been progress. There are stories. So we need to package those stories and get them out into the world to get attention and say, look what people are already doing. And it's powerful. Second is we need to continue to equip people who want to do this. And one of the things that we've found is that we end up getting stuck in kind of a 101 mode. Gender-based violence is, let's face it, a very complicated issue. It is not, you know, similar to climate change. It's not like you can just flip a switch and change global warming. You can't just, I don't know, add a clause to your investments and turn around centuries-old gender norms that allow, encourage gender-based violence in our world. It's complicated. It truly is. So what we're looking to do in our teaching is to really invite people who are going to move from a 101 to a 201 to a 301 to an advanced class, who are willing to learn in depth how to do this. Now, this is two audiences. This is both about the investors and the second audience that is stunningly important to us, which is actually the practitioners, the experts who work on gender-based violence, but who for whom finance is not their first language. Now, I think in general, many of you know that our core goal in the end is for the people who are working to end gender-based violence to have more strategies, including the system of finance in all of its power and all of its flaws, but as another tool to be able to address the issues that they are taking on. So the core of this is about expanding the possibilities for creating social change. So we care deeply whether or not the organizations working on gender-based violence are equipped to do this, whether or not they feel able to use finance as a tool to engage that system of power. And of course, to be able to find the resources to do that. So much of the innovation that is needed to address this complex issue doesn't happen, frankly, because the funding's not there. This is still an early movement. And I think we need to do more education around that, right? I think people assume big pervasive issue like gender-based violence haven't been people been working on this for centuries and trying to turn it around. Sure, there have been efforts for a very long time, but a really concentrated effort to say, to eradicate gender-based violence and then to shift towards a deeper look at prevention, that's really just been in the last 20 or 30 years. So it is actually a relatively new focus in working on advancing gender equality. And so we can't assume that these organizations have all the resources that they need to simply take on a new strategy and address them. So part of what we need to be doing is organizing those resources and expanding the toolkit, bringing in new actors, different allies, not just the same old government actors, as incredibly important as they are, but we need to find ways to engage the private sector. And that's not just through corporate activism. We can do that through finance. So the second block, the first block was about design, really building out the possibilities. The second piece is really about teaching and learning together what works. How can we build a base of leaders who are equipped to implement this, to partner with others, organizations in universities that already have research academies focusing on gender-based violence? How do we bring finance into those conversations? How do we partner with folks like SVRI, who bring together every 2 years an extraordinary set of people working on gender-based violence? What if we were learning together? What if investors also came to this conference of several thousand people sharing research findings? And what if one of the audience for those research findings was investors? How do we actually tilt that machine and so that it's got a little bigger audience? And I do believe, and we've been having a ton of conversations about this recently, expanding the audiences for whom gender-based violence is named as relevant to include systems of finance will strengthen the movement overall. And so finally, it's really looking at nothing more than persuasion, influence. How do we identify more investors? How do we identify more organizations willing to include finance in their work? How do we find more governments who are willing to bridge between their social policies and their innovative finance approaches to ask for more, to sort of take a lead from folks like the European Investment Bank, who have done such deep innovation in looking at how to finance the reduction of gender-based violence? How do we show what's happening, show what's possible, and invite people to take action? And this is in some ways one of the hardest parts about Criterion's business model, so to speak. This is true of almost anybody working in systems change. Making that change, inviting an organization and a leader, even an individual family, to change how they're making investments is not a simple or short effort. For them to make decisions to change takes time. And so the key part of this next 5 years or so is for us to have a sustained momentum. They will step up and step into this work when they are ready. But we need to keep inviting. We need to keep showing people what's possible. We need to keep telling stories that others are doing this and inviting all of our core audiences, both those working in investments and those working in the social change work around gender-based violence, to see the potential and to give them time. So to galvanize that work, we have decided to take our convergence, our annual gathering that happens usually online in February over the course of a month. We've decided to focus the February 2026 convergence on gender-based violence. So convergence brings together about 150 people. And they are the people already working on this. This isn't necessarily the place where we invite newcomers for whom they haven't considered making this change. This is for the long-distance runners that we bring together to connect with each other, to boost each other, to share what they're figuring out, and to continue to strategize how do we increase the impact. So the organizations working on gender-based violence, whether they're focused on prevention or response, whether they're global advocacy groups or local service providers, we'll bring them together and we'll put in the same room investors, asset managers, asset owners, philanthropists, donor agencies who are seeing the potential in this and are likely already moving something forward, but want to learn from each other. So we'll do that in the month of February to really bring together the community working on this. But around that, before and after, we're going to continue to offer easy invitations. What is a place where people can start thinking about this? What's the introduction that lets them learn more about what gender-based violence actually is and how it operates within the world and how that starts to overlap with finance? So to not do this just in a, not only through convergence, but through a broad set of convenings that meets people where they're at. Because we're in this for the long haul. As we think about the next 5 years of this work, we want to see seismic change. We want to mobilize and empower the movement working to address gender-based violence, to have them see new allies, new power, new possibilities. And we want investors to see what's possible for them to use their power to create. This is probably not the people who simply want to have that light ESG screen that is, you know, makes everybody feel good. These are the people truly trying to make a difference. And there are so many of them. Some of them might not be broadcasting, so some of them might be quiet right now. But they are continuing to act and are responding to this invitation. So we'll continue to organize. We'll continue to galvanize energy, ask people to use their power to ask for changes. And in the end, while this isn't any kind of silver bullet, this won't magically reduce gender-based violence. We don't want to be so arrogant as to say that, but it can make a difference. In the end, if we can see gender-based violence as material to economies, as material to investment risks, and as a part of our world that needs to go away, we need to end violence against women. And to do that, we need to use all of our power, including the power that is embedded in where our investment capital goes.
To learn more about our work, visit us at criterioninstitute.org. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Your reviews help our podcast reach a wider audience. Thanks for listening.